Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
I'd like to talk to you for a few moments on the subject, the mindset of a miracle. The word mindset means the mental attitude. I could have said the mindset for a miracle, and perhaps be a little more succinct grammatically, but I purposely prefer to call it the mindset of a miracle to make it more personally possessive. There are dozens of scriptures and numbers of incidents in the Bible from which to lift a text for this subject that would be apropos. I could use the wisest man that ever lived's conclusion in Proverbs 23:7 and say, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Or I could elaborate on the reverse psychology of Moses' sad refrain when he described the spies going to the promised land. And they said, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were as grasshoppers in their sight. Better yet, I could explore the death of Jesus' declaration when he said, the light of the body is the eye. And if therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But rather than use one verse or a philosophy or a principle, I would rather like to revisit the pain and desperation of a real person that someone within the sound of my voice, watching online or sitting in these pews, could relate to the degree that they would receive a miracle today. Because I personally believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, day, and forever. And what he has done, he will do. That we are not withheld blessing because of the stinginess of God, but rather blessings fail to manifest because of the lack of preparation of the human heart. A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind him and touched his garment. In just a few words, the Bible gives us a story, a sad story, the sad story of a pitiful plight of one woman. But a woman that represents thousands and millions of people that have lived and died in the world. This was not a story, really. It's not even an illustration. But it is the record of a real event with a real woman, a woman with a name. Church history identifies her as Veronica. The scripture does not say that. But when you study the writings of Josephus and all of the history that he brings, you'll find that she is identified in Bible times as Veronica. The Bible describes her as pain-ridden. This is a woman that anybody that's suffered greatly. I've never suffered that much. I've had some accidents, some sicknesses, some pain, but not to the degree of so many people that I have watched suffer. But here is somebody that the pain-stricken can relate to. She suffered. She suffered greatly. Not only did she suffer, she was poverty-stricken. Everybody that's been broke, everybody that did not know where their next meal is coming from, or fear their lights are going to be turned out, or they're going to be evicted, ought to be able to relate to this woman because the Bible said the sickness had driven her to poverty. She spent all she had trying to get well. Sickness will do that. I've seen cancer turn millionaires into paupers. She was hopeless because she grew nothing better, but she grew worse. She was an outcast, separated from her husband, separated from her children, separated from society. Because sicknesses did that in Bible times. Bible times were a time of unbelievable cruelty. People were blamed for their sickness, and they still are. Friend, that's not right. It's not fair. It is not true. I know some people that lived terrible lives and they lived every day of it healthy. And I know some precious saints of God that have lived tremendous lives of Christianity and yet they've suffered with grievous illness. It wasn't right then, it's not right now, but nevertheless, she was an outcast because of her issue of blood. She was separated from her husband, from her children, from all of culture. Bible times were cruel. You remember when the man that was blind, they asked of Jesus, why is he blind? Did he sin or was it his mother and daddy that sinned? They always traced it back to somebody was to blame when the truth was the devil is the one to blame, the Adamic nature. The mindset of a miracle begins with the most basic of human emotions, desperation. I don't know how many times you have been desperate in your life, but I've had a few occasions when I was desperate, all the time from the time I was a child till when I got older. We must become desperate to have the frame of mind for a miracle. If there's another way out, flesh will find it. As long as there's an alternative, you won't receive a miracle. It has to come to the place where there's no one else to turn to, no one to appeal to, nowhere else to go. John 5:27 said, and when she heard of Jesus, everybody in the world has not heard of Jesus, but billions have. But unfortunately, many of the billions have not responded like I did or like you did. When I heard the gospel story told to me in such an emphatic way as a 10-year-old boy by a preacher by the name of Tom Fred Tenney, preaching at an old camp meeting in Murfreesboro, Illinois, in a borrowed sermon from a man by the name of Jonathan Edwards, entitled, It's a Fearful Thing for the Sinners to Fall into the Hands of an Angry God. I couldn't wait for him to cease his sermon that I could run and give my life to Jesus. When I heard of Jesus and how he died in my place, that he loved me so much that he took my sins, that he descended to hell that I might ascend to heaven. When I heard that story, it affected me. It doesn't affect everybody. Blessed are ye that have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. If you've run out of things in this Thanksgiving season, you need to thank God that you can hear the voice of God and respond to it. And when she heard of Jesus, her response was immediate. She was not the only one that heard of Jesus that day. She was not even the only woman that heard of Jesus that day. She was not even the only sick woman to hear of Jesus that day. But she was the only one that got a miracle. So the difference did not rely on Jesus. It relied on her. When she heard Jesus, and she heard about Jesus, and what Jesus could do, she desperately hoped and believed that she could be a recipient of the grace and the favor and the love and the power of Jesus Christ. She made tremendous effort to get to the celebration. She followed behind the crowd. The Bible says she came from behind. She was the least and the last. She was despised and outcast. People looked at her and shoved her aside. She was infamous because of her sickness. But perhaps on hands and knees, she crawled through the crowd, not demanding that she kiss his face or caress his hair or touch his hands, but just touch the hem of his garment. And when Christ recognized it, he didn't say, who touched me? He said, who touched my clothes? There are people that demand a personal visitation of Christ in person. I know people that testify that they have met Jesus in person in motel rooms, that he's appeared to them as real as I am to you. That's never happened to me. But the desperation of my faith told me that I don't have to come to him and see him manifest as a human. If I can just come within the realm of his garment, the influence of his ministry, if somebody can just tell me the old story, if somebody can just share their testimony with me, I'm not like Thomas. I don't have to feel the wounds in his hand or the wounds in his side. I'm so hungry and I'm so thirsty and I'm so desperate. I will believe the power of the gospel, for it is the power of salvation to me as it was to her. She crawled through that crowd on hands and knees and finally reached out with fingertips that were perhaps bleeding and got a hold of the hem of his garment. And when she did, everything in heaven stopped. Hell came at attention. And Jesus announced to the crowd, something has happened. A miracle has taken place. Somebody has touched my garment. The disciples were disdainful. Jesus, what do you mean somebody has touched you? We've touched you all day long. We've jostled up against you. We've rubbed you shoulder to shoulder. The multitude and the press of the crowd has touched you. Oh, no. There's somebody that has touched my clothes with the one thing that is the mindset of a miracle. Somebody has touched me with desperate faith. Somebody that said, I can't go one more day. I've tried everything. There is nobody and there is no way. I simply have to have an answer. After a while, when psychiatrists have failed and doctors give up and bankers turn you away and kinfolks dismiss you and outcast you, you say, is there anybody? And Jesus said, here I am. And that's what he says to this building today. Somebody that sits in these pews, somebody that watches online, Jesus is saying to you right now, I'm here. If you're desperate enough to reach out to me, I'll stop this parade of disciples and announce to you as I announced to her, somebody has touched me. Who is it? She fell down in front of him, fearful and trembling, and said, it is I. I might not be worthy, but I am full of faith. I touch the hem of your garment. And Jesus cries out, your faith has made you whole. God today is looking through this world, not at people that will accommodate him like they're doing him a favor. You're not doing God a favor to come to his house. You're not doing God a favor to write him a birthday check. You're not doing God a favor to lift your hand in praise. You're not doing God a favor to offer your prayer. You're not doing God a favor to announce you're a Christian. You're serving yourself because you have come to the conclusion, I am desperate and nothing, nobody, nothing can help me. I don't know where else to go. I don't know what else to turn to. I don't know who else to ask. I've tried it all, and I'm still just in the same shape I was. Oh, friend, I'm going to tell you that desperate faith is the mindset of a miracle. When you get desperate and you say, I am so desperate. I don't feel like I can live another day without Jesus. If you feel like you can live another day without Jesus, you will. If you feel like you can live a lifetime without Jesus, you will. But friend, when you come to the place where nights never end and days are depressing and no one can help you and you become desperate and somebody tells you about Jesus and you hear who he is, that he is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is both the Creator and the Savior. He is the healer of the sick, the Savior of the lost, the supplanter of the downtrodden, the provision to those without, the waymaker to those that are at dead end. He is altogether lovely, and he walks these aisles. He even goes through these television cameras to wherever you're laying or setting and says, if you become desperate in your faith, I will become your waymaker. I will become your healer. I will become your savior. I don't mind the doctors being concerned. I don't mind the banker shaking his head and so I don't know how you made it. I know what it is to pastor this church and begin it from nothing and have bankers say the best thing you can do, Reverend, is file for bankruptcy. That was in the early 80s when Jimmy Carter was guiding this nation and our economy was tragic. I also know what it is to wait a few years and have those bankers knock on my door and I say, I want to borrow $7 million. And the vice president of the bank said, any banker in San Antonio would want your business, but we're going to get it and we'll do whatever it takes to get it. God has a way of turning things around. Somebody within the sound of my voice is moments or hours away from a turnaround in your life. It depends on you getting the mindset of a miracle and saying, I refuse to be denied. When she made up her mind that Christ was her only answer, the crowd could not stop her. Protocol could not prevent it. Culture could not abort it. Inconvenience could not stop her, and religion could not put an end to it. Friend, I'm going to tell you, when you get a mindset for a miracle of desperation faith, nothing can stop you. Medical science could not stop Abraham, an old man 100 years old, from being a father. Medical science just couldn't stop it. Failing flesh could not prevent Sarah from becoming a mother at 90 years of age. A mocking crowd could not stop Noah from building a boat that would cause him to preserve civilization. The famine could not stop Isaac from sowing in the famine and reaping a hundredfold harvest. Age was no match with Caleb's desperate faith when he claimed the mountain. The fiery furnace could not match the faith of the three Hebrew children. The unjust judge could not compete with a woman with desperate faith. She just kept on coming. The crowd could not deter the palsied man from tearing the roof off to see Jesus. Friends could not quieten blind Bartimaeus when he called out to Jesus. He cried even the more so. Nothing can stop a man or woman with desperate faith. Let me touch the hem of his garment this morning. Let me tell you, I have desperate faith. Even after all of these years, I have received, but I am going to receive more. God is in this house today, and there's somebody that's come to the end of your rope. You have reached your dead end, but let me assure you, your dead end ends in the front yard of God. And God is in this room right now. I don't care what the lawyer told you, or the doctor told you, or your family told you, or your spouse told you. Jesus is on your side. Give him a praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got the mindset of miracles. I believe what I want to see in this church, what I want to see in my life, what I want to see in America can only be done from the hand of God. But God can well do it. He is more than able to save by few or by many. Small or large, God is able. You just have to get desperate. When I was preaching in Austin, Texas, a six-year-old girl that had received Christ was asked her babysitter, which was Jewish. She said, will you do anything for me I want? And her Jewish babysitter said, yes, honey, I will. What is it? She said, I want you to go to church with me tonight. My church is in revival, and I want to go to church. Mommy's not here. but will you take me? She said, well, I've never been to your kind of church, honey, but I will go. And so when I preached that night, I preached not only to a 6-year-old believer, I preached to a 25-year-old Jew that was a non-believer. But when I preached, she was exactly like the woman with the issue of blood. She heard of Jesus, and she could not wait. Her first time in a Christian church, her first sermon, her first time to be tapped on the heart by the Holy Spirit. Out of that pew, she came to that altar to give her life to Christ, to be filled with His Holy Spirit. Salvation born out of desperation faith. But it didn't go so well when she called her multimillionaire father, Jewish father in Dallas, to share with her her newfound faith. He cursed her and denounced her and said, I'll be on the first flight to Austin to rescue you from that cult. But she made him come that next night and sat with her. Here was a Jew that did not believe that Christ was a Messiah, that he was God or the Son of God. He was an imposter. But when I preached that night to Jesus, that Jew that had come to deliver his daughter out of the cult felt tears rolling down his face. And then I suddenly said something I've never said before or since. I said, if you, sir, I didn't know he was there. The Holy Spirit knew he was there. If you, sir, will come and put your hand in my hand. I've never said that before or since in 60 years. I said, when you put your hand in my hand, the God of Jacob, the God of Israel will visit you. He leapt out of that pew, that Jewish multimillionaire that came to revenge his daughter from the cult, run down that altar, put his hand in my hand because he had heard the story of Jesus. And suddenly he does not care about religion or tradition. He's got desperate faith. And when he put his hand in my hand, the Holy God of Israel manifest himself in the power of the Holy Spirit. His hand slipped out of my hand as he lay down on his back in that church on that red carpet, and God baptized him with the Holy Ghost and fire. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, there is no banishment from the people that have courageous, desperate faith. Anything can happen to anybody. He is in this room today, and God is waiting on you. You're not waiting on God. It's not if God was reluctant. It's not if God is temperamental. It's not if God has moods. It's not as if God has got to prepare himself. I tell you that God is now. God is today. God is momentary. God is now, in this second. He's in this room. He's here to heal somebody's body. He's waiting for somebody that says, I can't stand it any longer. I can't bear the pain. I can't bear the poverty. I can't bear the stress. I can't bear the embarrassment. I can't bear my life. I've got to have an answer. Where are you? You've got to be there in your faith, and your faith has got to be desperate. You just don't care anymore. I've got to have an answer. And I close with this. When I preached in the Metroplex in Arlington, Texas, which was one of my favorite places to preach, almost in view of the Cowboys, when I preached that night, that girl got gloriously saved. Gloriously saved. She was a prostitute. That's the way she made her living. She was beautiful. I'm sure she made good money. She was beautiful. And when she wasn't selling her body, she was stealing television sets out of motels and selling them. That's the way she existed. But when she heard of Jesus, it didn't matter that she was an outcast. It didn't matter that she was broke. It didn't matter that she was in pain. It didn't matter that she was in banishment. She heard about Jesus. And her faith became desperate at that moment. She did not walk. She did not pass go. She did not collect $200. She ran to that altar And before I could get to her, Jesus got to her. And by the time I got to her, tears were flowing like little rivers. And she was speaking the most beautiful language as God was baptizing her with the Holy Spirit. God doesn't care where He finds you. He found one woman under the accusation of adultery, and He said, "You belong to me." He doesn't care where He finds you. He just said, "Will I find faith? When the Son of Man comes, will I find faith? Will I find faith?" Can I tell you that Christ is going from person to person and pew to pew? He's searching from channel to channel, and He's looking today for people with faith, and not just nominal faith, but desperate faith. And she too, when she called her mother knew her lifestyle. She knew she was a prostitute. She knew she was a thief. But when she called her mother to give her the good news that she had been born again, saved, that Jesus was her Lord and Savior, she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Her mother spazzed out. She went nuts. But my favorite thing is when somebody comes to check on somebody that's just been born again, something is bound to happen. And when her mother came, mad as she could possibly be, she didn't wait for me to get through the sermon. She ran to that altar and said, "You're a liar, a hypocrite, or the greatest person I've ever met," in front of that pulpit. And when I reached out and touched her, her mother was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not preaching to you religion. I'm preaching to you Jesus Christ. He will heal the sick. He will save the lost. He will liberate the bound. He will deliver the addict. He will give you everything you possibly need. But you have to have desperate faith and say, "You are the only one." He refuses to be a choir. He sings only solos. He's not one of many. He's not one of a group. He alone is one faith, one Lord, and one baptism. And He's in this room today, and He's saying, "Somebody, how long will you suffer? How long will you go the way you are before you say, 'I've got to have an answer, and I want it today in the name of Jesus'?" I challenge one person before we've stood to our feet, that you stand alone, not the whole crowd, but just you stand by yourself. Look around and dare a congregation and say, "I'm like that woman. I've got desperate faith. I don't care what the crowd does. I am going to touch the hem of His garment on this post-Thanksgiving Sunday in the name of Jesus." Would you lift your hands and give God praise? Hallelujah, hallelujah.